Hello, and welcome to the Embassy City Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Now here's Pastor Tim.
Can we celebrate the 74 people that got water baptized last week? Come on. Maybe I ought to say it again. Can we celebrate the 74 people that got water baptized last week? Come on, we ought to raise the roof in this place and rejoice with our brothers and sisters. Woo! Man, it's like a preaching atmosphere in here. I am so proud. If you're in this place and you got water baptized last week, I'm proud of you. Most of all, the Lord's proud of you. There's nothing like going public with your faith right in front of everybody in a big old pool. The water was just a little chilly, but they were speaking in tongues on the way up. You know, we're okay with that. But we're so delighted that that everyone made that decision, the 74 people that made the decision, and we celebrate with you, and we want to continue to walk this journey with you. Well, today we've got a special guest with us. He's no stranger here, although him and I have just recently met. I just felt a few months ago that the Lord just impressed on me to have him come speak. And the Lord has given him a word. He's dedicated himself to preparing for this service. And so, new to some and old to others, Devontae Tidwell. Can you put your hands together and welcome up this man of God? Plus, we got to respect this monochromatic outfit you're wearing at. Let's do what we normally do. Stretch your hand this way. Let's pray for him. Thank you, Lord God, for Devontae, this man of God who has prepared himself to deliver your word to us. He has prepared. Now help us to be prepared. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mind to understand what your word would say to us. Help us to walk out of here changed and different because of what the Spirit is about to do. We give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time, put your hands together and welcome.
Y'all good? Man, it's good to be home. I'm so honored to be here. Before we even get started on anything, you know, that I feel like the Lord has given us to say, I gotta honor Dr. Tim Rivers because... Yeah, y'all love your pastor, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm just making sure because he leads well. And, you know, he said earlier that, like, to compliment somebody's outfit and that makes them feel better. I haven't seen an outfit that I haven't liked on him yet. So after service, you can just leave those shoes. You know, back there, you can go home in your socks. I mean, I'm sure you got, you know, some other ones anyway. No, but seriously, the way that he has taken the baton and continued to carry on the legacy and like trailblaze new paths is something that I admire and that I'm inspired by. So one more time, can you make some noise for your pastors? Y'all ready for the word? Okay, we're gonna see in a second. Oh man, it feels good to be home. And so at the 9 o'clock, you know what I mean? Like I always say the 9 o'clock, those are the seasoned saints. You know what I mean? Like the early service always got the seasoned saints. Like those are the people, you know, they've been walking with God a long time. They know everything, all the cliches, you know. I like y'all a little wild. I was seeing during worship, I was like, I don't even know if I'm be able to get up there and preach today. I don't know if we're gonna make it. But yeah, anyway, I'm just so glad, and I wanna say this too, for everybody that I have gotten the opportunity to know, I wanna say this up top. Thank you so much for letting us serve here. Thank you so much for letting this be a breeding ground for, you know, everything that God wanted to do in our hearts and in our lives. Y'all helped make me a man. And I'm so grateful. We went through the best of times and the worst of times here and all kinds of things, like just in our personal lives. And y'all were always around us and supporting us. So I'm so glad and thankful for the Embassy City family. Speaking of us, the person I'm referring to, I got to honor. My beautiful bride, who at one point served as a children's pastor here at Embassy City. Everybody says this, and I say it everywhere I go. Everybody says, you need to marry your best friend. And I'm like, nah. I didn't marry my best friend. I married my hero. Like, this woman has been everything. Like, these monochromatic suits she bought, you know what I mean? She's done my hair. She's an excellent wife. She's an excellent mother. She's an excellent helpmate, and she's God's gift to me. So I married my hero. This woman has literally helped change my life. So I'm so grateful for you, baby. I'm thankful that you're here. Can y'all help me honor my bride? Let me get set up here. All right. Can you make some noise if you love Jesus in the room? I just gotta see, like, I'm talking about Jesus, though. Like, that was cool. Like, if y'all are like, oh, I'm at church. No, I mean, I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like, if you really love Jesus in the room. Okay. All right. Just making sure I'm in the right room, making sure we got some energy. Because today, we're gonna get a little deep. Everybody say deep.
Deep.
Now make your voice deeper and say deep.
Deep.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, I'm honored to be here, man. So we left here and we are on staff. Both of us are on staff at a church called Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. So where we get to serve in different areas of the entire Next Gen department. So we're doing our best to help these kids, man. We're doing our best to help these kids. So yeah, I'm excited. Anyway, whew, I heard in worship today a statement that I believe will be part of the backdrop for today's message. And it's the 11 o'clock, so I'm gonna take my time. We might get loud, we might cry, we might do both. We might be loudly crying. I don't know, but we're gonna see. Anyway, the statement that I felt like the Lord gave me in worship, he said, for you all is what is your deliverance was on the other side of your desperation. If your deliverance was on the other side of your desperation, we're going to find out in a second. Let's go Matthew chapter number 9, gospel according to Matthew chapter number 9. If you got a Bible, say, I got a Bible. If you don't got a Bible, say, man, I need one. Hey, y'all got quiet. Y'all just like giggled. Like, I need one. Don't tell nobody. No. Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to start at the first verse. I'm reading out of the NASB. I think the New Living Translation is going to be on the screen, so it might read a little differently, but that's totally okay. You got a Bible? Anybody got paper? Anybody got paper Bibles? All right. All 9 of y'all. The electronic Bibles? All right. No matter. We still get to the same destination. If you got a Bible, throw it up high, throw it up high, throw it up high. Repeat after me, say, today.
Okay,
energy's okay. Let's see. Say, today.
The
Holy Spirit
is going to teach me
about freedom.
About freedom.
Mm-hmm. Say, after today.
After today.
Oh, y'all thought we were done. No, we're not done. Say, after today.
After today.
I will know.
And fully understand
that I'm leaving here
with something.
Let's go. Matthew chapter number 9, verse 1, it says this, getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came into his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. And he got up and went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what's getting ready to take place. God, I truly believe that there are people under the sound of my voice that are going to walk out of here completely different than the way that they walked in. God, I decree and declare that that would actually be the case. Lord, that there are some people who didn't even expect to have an encounter today that will have one today. God, I pray that you would literally change lives here on earth, but change eternities forever, God. God, I thank you for the word that's getting ready to go forth. I pray that you would give me what this service needs. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I heard a quote recently that stuck with me. And it goes like this. Fear is the glue that keeps you stuck. But faith is the solvent that sets you free. I'm gonna say that one more time. Fear is the glue that keeps you stuck, but faith is the solvent that sets you free. You see, because, listen, there are some things that happen to us that get us stuck. Like, you didn't ask for it to happen, you didn't plan on it happening, but it happened and now you're stuck. Like, the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. That means the good people and the bad people all get rained on. Things happen to all of us. But mature believers, see, we get to a place where we can admit that some of the reasons we stuck, we got ourselves into. Yeah. let's keep it tall. Let's keep it 100. Some of the reason that the 1-800 numbers are calling you, it's because you mismanage your finances. we ain't gonna get on that. I'll tell you a story. It was in 2020, the infamous pandemic. Seems so long ago, doesn't it? It's crazy. We wasn't going nowhere. We wasn't doing anything. So we have these two cars, and one of the cars is a older Kia Rio, small, no automatic locks, no automatic windows. Yeah, I know, in the year of our Lord, 2020. Like, we have this car, and you know, I was happy about it. You know, we got two cars, you know, it's a blessing, but we ain't had no money. And you know, it stopped working in the pandemic. But again, we ain't had no money. So what did I do? I left the car there. Wouldn't start. I was like, hey, I'll leave it in the parking lot of our apartment complex. It's cool. Like, don't worry about it. We ain't going nowhere anyway. I ain't got to go buy nothing. I got another car. We can share. So we let it sit there. And then my wife, who's from Milwaukee, I don't know if y'all know what that means, but I'm just going to leave that right there. Got upset and was like, babe, like, it had been a while. Like, you know, I'm tired of us sharing cars. Like, we got another one. Like, why don't we just get it fixed? And I'm like, babe, we ain't got no money. But then we finally saved up enough to get the mobile mechanic where they can at least come out and tell you what the problem is. Like, sometimes you're going to go get the car looked at knowing you're not going to get it fixed. But at least if you know, like, what the problem is, you like, okay, I feel better. Like, I'm at least 9 months away before I can get it fixed. But seriously, so I left the car there in our apartment complex. And we only used our second vehicle for 3 straight months. So I, you know, saved up the little $100 to get a mobile mechanic. Mobile mechanic comes out. It's like, hey, man, this is the car. It won't start. I don't know what's going on. It's been sitting here for 3 months. Knock on the door when you're ready, when you figure out what's going on. I said, cool. I went in the house. Chilled. 5 minutes later. I kid you not. All I hear, I'm like, wait, well, maybe you got some questions about the car. Comes out, he said, hey man, I found the problem, but you're not gonna like it. I said, uh-oh, we ain't got no money. So I'm like, okay, what is it? I'm preparing myself for this bill that's getting ready to come through, and I'm confused, but my heart sinks, and I go outside, and he said, I figured out the problem. He said, I looked under the hood, but that wasn't the issue. I got in the car, and all I had to do was put it in park. So for 3 straight months, the car had been sitting in reverse. He said, I put it in park, started up, and he still charged me $100 for the diagnostic. But I learned a valuable lesson that day. I literally told one of my friends that I'm going to preach about that one day. Embassy City Church, may I invite you into the day that I'm preaching about it, which is now. I learned a valuable lesson that you will never function properly when you're put in the wrong position. You will never function properly when you're stuck out of position. And I came to tell somebody today that today can be the day that you get free, but you got to be in the right position. So let me jump into the text. We got to step into the text because, like, I don't want to rush through it. There's so much here that, like, sometimes as a preacher, the hard part is figuring out what to leave out. But there's so much here that I feel like is crucial. So are y'all riding with me? Y'all riding with me? Y'all not stuck in reverse? Okay, we good. Okay, just making sure. So this section of scripture that we just read out of Matthew chapter number 9 is actually a larger plot. It has a larger purpose. It's a part of a section between chapters 8 through 11 where Jesus is confirming his authority. He's confirming that he's the Messiah through, you know, deeds and actions and words and all this good stuff. And literally he's proving it. But we have what is called the benefit of hindsight. We get to know how the story ends already. We're not in there like wondering what Jesus is going to do. We get to see. We just read it. Jesus forgave his sins, healed his body, and all it took was his word. And see, with this man, this paralytic, we don't know the man's name. We don't know anybody else's name there but Jesus. We don't know how old he is, or how long he's been in this place, but we do know his condition. The authority of God in the flesh. Jesus to look at a body that was immobile and paralyzed, and even it still had to do what he said do. He spoke and bones that hadn't been strong enough to support a man immediately strengthened. He spoke a word and muscles that had been weak and feeble, they hadn't been worked out for years, became fully functional. A man who had been stuck in a paralyzed state immediately got an upgrade from surviving to thriving because of a word that came from Jesus. What is it that you need? I dare you to just whisper to your neighbor, pick a neighbor and just say, hey, I've got a date with destiny. All right, turn to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, you're my second option. Say, my bad. You're not that big of a priority to me. No, I'm just saying, don't say that. But seriously, look at that second neighbor and say, I've been stuck, but I'm leaving here with something. No, say, I'm leaving here. With something. Where is your here? See, here is defined as a place or a position. What got you here? What's keeping you here? Maybe you don't have a physical ailment. Maybe you're not paralyzed in your body, but there are some other things that's keeping you stuck. Are we coming to deal with some of those today? Like your need for control. Keeping you stuck. Pride. Keeping you stuck. Holding on to guilt. Keeping you stuck. Isolation. Keeping you stuck. Bad habits. Keeping you stuck. Maybe you've been stuck here in an addiction for a long time. Maybe you've been stuck here in insecurity for a long time. Maybe you've been paralyzed and stuck here in sickness for a long time. But wherever you're here is, I'm believing you're going to leave differently than the way that you came in. Why? Because Jesus can do this and that. What do I mean by that? He not only healed the man on the outside, he healed the man on the inside. He not only healed his body, he healed his soul. He forgave his sins. See, healing him on the inside was far more important than healing him on the outside. But since he's God and he's so good, he'll just do both. What is it that you need today? Because with God, you always will get more than what you came for. Yeah, he'll heal your broken heart, but he'll bless your finances too at the same time. He'll give you relief for your mental health, but he'll also heal your body at the same time. And to understand that, to understand who Jesus is, you have to understand the character This whole section is talking about the character of God, the authority of God, him being the Messiah. But to understand his character, you have to know this statement. You have to know that Jesus is not only able to heal you, he's willing. I'm gonna say that again. Jesus is not only able to heal you, he is willing. This is important because it'll change the way you see him. If you see him as only able and not willing, you'll think he's a tyrant. But if you see him as only willing and not able, you think he's limited. But what makes Jesus special is that he's both. Yeah, I got the power to heal you, but I want to heal you too. Yeah, I got the ability to change your life, and I want to change your life. Yeah, I got the ability to set you free, and I want to set you free. That changes the character of Jesus that we see. But he does this and that. He does the inside work and the outside work. He heals your body, but what good is it if you just gonna walk out of his life? If he puts your two legs back together and you walk away from him, that wasn't worth anything. So he has to heal you on the inside, because if he heals your body, you're good on earth for however many years you got. But if he heals your soul, then you'll be with him for eternity. So he'll make sure. I wonder if this is what he means when he says, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Maybe it's not just so that you are good here on earth, but that you're good here on earth and you're good in heaven when you encounter Jesus at this level. He's after both your hands and your heart. He desires for you to be a whole person. And in order for you to be a whole person, he's got to do the work on the inside. Let me speak to the believers for a second. How many of y'all grew up in church? Grew up in church? Show of hands. That's a lot of y'all. Grew up in church? You see, I want to talk to the church folk because I got a problem. I've started to notice that, like, we'll be grateful for the miracle that's happening, and it seems like we forgot about forgiveness. Like, it seems like after a while, we're not as excited that Jesus forgives our sins. Like, you weren't lost and sad and down and not able to look yourself in the mirror, crying yourself to sleep at night because of the decisions that you made. But I came to tell somebody that forgiveness is actually the greatest miracle that Jesus can do. And he still gives that away freely. He canceled your spiritual debt, the debt that you couldn't pay with being a good person or doing good works. You thought your Sally Mae loan was bad. You thought that Synchrony Bank loan was bad. Imagine thinking every time that you sin, it immediately racks up a cost that you'll never be able to pay. And you do it multiple times a day, multiple days a week, multiple weeks a year. And he looks, and Jesus looks at this paralyzed man and realizes what his greatest need actually was. Like, that's why he addressed it first. Don't forget about his forgiveness. You can't save you. If you could, you would have saved you already. Why are you still stuck? If you could get yourself out, why are you still there? Like, some of us are like, get to a place where we feel like, if I work hard enough, if I do enough good things, like, God will love me more. Like, he's good with me when I'm good. But when I'm not, I don't know if he's rocking with me like that. But I came to tell somebody that God's behavior doesn't change just because yours did. God's behavior does not change just because yours did. God's faithfulness does not change just because yours does. Just because you're fickle doesn't mean that his character changes. Just because you go back and forth doesn't mean that he's going to go back and forth. Just because you're not consistent doesn't mean that he's not consistent. Why are you still stuck? Sometimes we get stuck in our condition so long that we wonder if God even cares. We get stuck so long that we wonder if God, that's why we're not consistent anymore. That's why we think our behavior affects his behavior. Like we think that he's not faithful because we're not faithful. We've gotten stuck so long that we wonder if he even cares anymore. But the Bible that I read says, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. I know you got yourself in this mess. I know that you were the one who got yourself stuck. I know that you were in the wrong. I know you mismanaged the season. I know you thought you were disqualified. I know you think you can't get it right. But God didn't place a parameter on the cares that he wants you to cast on him. He didn't say, bring me the big stuff and you keep the small stuff. He said, give them all to me. You want to see how good Jesus is? Say, yeah. Yes. Y'all wasn't going to say it unless I told you, so. Go with me to Mark chapter number 2. Same story, but I love the thing about the synoptic gospels. The thing that I love about Mark is actually like, he's like an action movie. You know what I mean? Like he's going to give you a little more detail. He's going to give you the tea. You know what I mean? Like, you be like, oh, okay. Like, he give you a little bit more color to the story, right? But there's something in here that I want to point out. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. I'm going to read it to you. If we're talking about the character of God, we're talking about the miracle that you can have. It says this, when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him when they had dug an opening. They let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning with that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Let me point out two things. You want to see how good Jesus is? Say yes. Real quick, in all that we read, when did the paralytic ask for Jesus to do any of this? I see a man who was paralyzed, who didn't even ask for Jesus's help, and Jesus still gave him all that he needed. What's your excuse? A lot of y'all grew up in church. You know how to communicate with God. You know how to pray. You know how to talk to God. You know how to ask. We just had a beautiful healing moment right before this message started. But Jesus was still so good, and he didn't even fix his lips to ask for the healing, inside or out. See, I want to remind somebody, there are things that God is doing on your behalf right now that you aren't even aware of. God knows what you need more than you do. He knows that he needed his sins forgiven, and he knew that he wanted his body healed. There are things that God is putting in motion right now for you. You thought that it was going to be at the end of an altar call. God was like, no, I put that in motion when you woke up this morning, because I knew you were being obedient and getting to my presence. The second thing that I want to point out, and we're going to stay here for a second, is when you're leaving here with something, there are some things that we're going to, the things that we're talking about, there are some things that you're going to leave with. But what was interesting to me is that other people got this paralytic man to Jesus. It was their faith. The Bible says that he saw their faith. Faith is so powerful that it's transferable. Faith is so powerful to God that somebody could have faith for you and he'll act in your life based on their faith. He'll act in your mama's life because you're the one been praying for her every night. Like, faith is so powerful that you're not even the one who has to have it for something to be activated on the inside of you. Someone else's faith is still good enough for him to act on. Next thing I want to point out about faith is, we talked about fear being the glue that gets us stuck, but faith is what sets us free. We all have faith. Where we place it is the problem. Show of hands, I just want to know. I looked around the room. I know the answer already, but I'm just going to ask. How many of y'all, when you came in the room, like, stood up on your chair like this, or like patted it real quick, or like sat down real quick and stood up because you weren't sure that it was going to hold you up? Anybody? No? Funny how you had faith that that chair was going to hold you up when you sat down in it. We all have faith. It's just, where do we put it? Jesus wants you to put your faith in him. He's able to do everything. He spoke a word. And him speaking the word was confirming that he identified with the God of the universe. That he is the God of the universe. The same God that stepped out on nothing and spoke to nothing and everything came into existence. The same God that reached his hand down into the dust and said, breathe the breath of life and became a living thing. He's that same God. We all have faith, but where do you put it? Do you put it in him? The one who could change a man with a word? The one who could change your situation with a word? The one who could heal your body with a word? The next thing is that God cares about the people you care about. Do you have the circle? Let's talk about your friends. You have the circle that would get you to the right place when you need help? Because the Bible in Mark tells us that it was four men that picked him up, a grown man, on a mat and carried him. Let's talk about their journey for a second. Bible says they tried the door, couldn't get in. But they were so determined to get their friend help. Let me give you some biblical context. Houses, the way that they were built in this time, for this to have a roof that they could get to means that there were stairs connected to the outside of the building that went up and went around the building, and then they got on top of the building where people would typically lounge and like sit up there and have conversations. So like this wasn't like a grass roof. Like people were it was able to support the weight of people. And so they tried the door. I don't know if you've ever carried anybody, but they heavy. They tried the door. Crowd, can't get in there. No, I'm not going to be able to get him in there. He can't walk. Like, they go back, go around, carry him up the stairs. Then get him to the roof, put him down. Then dig through the roof. And the whole time, Jesus is sitting there. Like, I just imagine Jesus being in a room like just subtle. Then, like, stuff like hitting him in the face. And Jesus didn't move. Jesus being present will wait on you to get to him. Because it doesn't matter how you got here, you're not leaving here the same way you came. Whether you get yourself to Jesus or somebody has to bring you, when you get to the presence of God, everything changes. And he doesn't care how you got there. He just cares that you arrived. Do you have the type of friends that want to see you win even if they get nothing in return? Do you have the type of friends that will carry you whenever or wherever, when you're stuck, wherever your here is? Other people's faith got him to Jesus. But Jesus can get you out. But you have to have the faith to believe. Look what Jesus told this man. He said, get up, verse 10, 11, and 12. He said, But so that you may know the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God. We have never seen anything like this. You're either getting healing or revelation of who Jesus is, or you're getting both. Because when you get a revelation of who Jesus is, it changes the way you interact with him. Here's what's crazy about this story. I believe that you are going to get healed. I believe that you are going to receive a miracle. No matter how you got to this church, to this spot in life, you won't leave the same. You're leaving here with something. Because Jesus said, get up. Imagine if Jesus would have said, get up, and that paralyzed man would have just laid there. Every divine miracle still has a human responsibility. He said, get up, but if he would have laid there, he would have been in the same position that he was in when he was paralyzed. What is Jesus telling you to get up from? He's saying, get up. You've been stuck here too long. Get up. You can't function properly stuck in the wrong gear. Get up. You've been bitter for too long. Get up. Get up. Get out of that depression. Get up. Go see some help. Get up. Go talk to somebody. Get up. Pray. Get up. Worship. Get up. Cry if you need to. But get up, because you're leaving here with something. And in this, he showed that Jesus is Lord and Savior. I'm excited about this. Jesus showed that he is Lord and Savior. Because in church, we love the saving part. We don't really love the Lord part as much. But we'll be quick. You see people win an award. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, he'll save you. But you got to do what he says for him to be your Lord. See, we love the saving part. The gospel isn't just that Jesus came to save. That's true, but incomplete. The gospel is Jesus came to usher in a new kingdom in which he is Lord. Don't let Jesus get you out of something and then not do what he says afterwards. Because when I look at what Jesus told the paralytic, he says, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. Get up. Pick up your pallet and go home. I wonder why he made him take his pallet. He ain't needed no more. He was walking. He didn't have to be carried. But I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to know the same thing that he wants you to know, that you need to take your mat back so that you wouldn't forget what God delivered you from. You got to take the mat back with you. Like, hey, this is where I was. But I'm not there anymore. The Bible says that he walked out in plain sight for everybody to see. So everybody, like, imagine that. Like, imagine this man laying flat for however long it was. And then he gets up and he walks by his coworker. Nah, I'm just playing. He gets up and he walks by people that he saw in his neighborhood. And they like, ain't that Jimmy? I'm like, yeah, Jimmy walking with a mat. Ain't that the mat that he laid on? Yep. How did that happen? Man, it could only be God. And that's what God is after. Yeah. He's after such a change in your life that only he can get the credit for. Yeah. There are some people in the room that God is getting ready to initiate something in your life, something in your world that only he's going to be able to get the credit for. You won't be able to say the 10-step program did it. You won't be able to say my savings plan did it. You won't be able to say any of that. It's going to be God did it. That's where the sentence stops. That's all I got for you. I know what I looked like yesterday. I know what I looked like last week. I know what I was partaking in before, but that's not who I am anymore. You see this mat? That's what I was laying on. But you see these feet? That's what I'm walking on. Some of us hate who we were so much that we want to forget that we were a problem. We hate that we broke their heart. We hate that we blew all the money. We hate that we lost the job. But without remembering who you used to be, you won't be grateful for who you are right now. Without remembering where you came from, you won't be grateful for where you ended up. Is there anybody that's mature in here to know, to say, or to say that, look, I look back over my life and I know if God didn't make a change, I wouldn't be sitting in here. If God didn't make a change, I'd be a completely different person. If God didn't make a change, I wouldn't be married. If God didn't make a change, things would be totally different. But the Bible that I read says that your latter days shall be greater than your former days. And Jesus wants you to keep the change. He wants the change to be so cemented and so permanent that when he does it in your life, it's not something you can go back to without looking foolish. Oh, you can walk now. Why are you laying on that mat? You can walk now. Why are people carrying you? You can't go back to what you used to without looking foolish when God does a change in your life. As the worship team comes up, I want to close with a few thoughts. Last thing I want to say is that victory is never just for you. There are some people that God is after in your world right now that when he finishes doing the work on the inside of you, your family members are going to want to get saved. Your coworkers are going to ask questions about, man, who is this Jesus you always talking about? Like, because I saw what he did in your life, and if he can do it in yours, maybe he can do it in mine. Mark 2:12 says they were all amazed and glorified God because of what happened to the paralyzed man. It didn't even happen to them. It just happened around them and made them curious. And I believe that God is going to do something like that for you today. I believe that today you're going to mark your calendar as the day everything changed. I'm not after your emotions today. I'm after your heart. Because there were two types of people that walked in the room today. There were some people that walked in that said, man, I haven't seen this guy. Let's see what he got. And those people are cool. You know, I hope that you had a great service. Those of you that are still watching online, thank you for still being with us. But there's another group of people that walked in here that said, I don't care where the word comes from. I need something. And I'm not leaving here until I get it. Well, I came to tell you today that you're leaving here with something. You either are going to leave with a healing. You're going to leave here with deliverance. You're going to leave here with freedom. You're going to leave here with a changed perspective. And you're going to leave here with a revelation of who Jesus is and how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. There are a lot of broken hearts in the room. I feel you strongly. A lot of broken hearts in the room. The Bible uses immediately twice in that passage. The Bible says that he told the man to get up, pick up his mat and go home. And immediately he did it. Some things God uses a process to put in place. But other things God does immediately. Trust his timing. Because he's still good either way. I do believe with my whole heart, somebody's going to walk out of here with an immediately type of story, a suddenly type of blessing, change, deliverance, freedom, kids coming home, sickness is drying up, pain melting away, hearts being restored. I believe that I have the, you don't have enough faith, I got it for you. You can borrow mine. There are other people who are going to leave out of here, and it's going to be a process. That doesn't mean that God's not working. Jesus is intentional. He's so intentional that when he's doing something, he's doing something. But even when he's doing nothing, He's doing something. Can we all stand to our feet? If you're ready for change, point blank period, you need an encounter with God. Prayer partners, altar ministry, if y'all can make your way down. If you're in the room, you know what you need healing. You knew what you needed healing from or for when you walked in the door. If you need that kind of healing, we just want to touch and agree with you and believe that that's going to happen for you. If you're in the room and there's something internal, you've been dealing with anxiety for a long time. You've been dealing with depression and mental health. Hey, I know that struggle. I understand it well. There's no freedom like the freedom that you will get in the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And I believe he's here right now. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, make your request known unto the Lord. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. If you need healing for anything at all, I just want you to make your way down to the front. I'm not going to count. I'm not going to do anything. I just want you to make your way down. I just want to make you just get in position. This might be the position that you need to get to in order to be healed. He came across the galaxy for you. You can take a few steps. He stepped inside the context of time. You can take a few steps. Yeah. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. This is family. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We got time. We'll wait. We got time. Yeah, there you go. Come on. I see you. I see you. We'll wait. We'll wait. You're not going to miss what's for you. You're not going to miss what's for you. Yeah. Come on. We got space right here. Fill in. That's the healing. But the call that I believe is going to change your eternity is if you need the revelation of who Jesus is. If you're in the room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you used to know him. You heard of him, but you never really had a relationship. You used to talk. When you were a kid, you used to pray these bold prayers that you really believed could happen. You used to pray all kinds of stuff. You used to talk to God. I really feel him saying right now, I miss you. God's not the one that created the distance between you two. We did. But if you get in the right position, he can change everything. If you're in the room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I know we had a few first-time visitors. I'm not naive to believe that everybody in here knows Jesus. That's totally okay. That's totally okay. But I just want to give you the opportunity to enter into a relationship with him. If that's you, on the count of three, just lift your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, that's you, that's you. That's you. Don't be ashamed. I see you. I see you. I see you. Your life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Let's all repeat this prayer because we need it. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Forgive me for loving you as Savior, but not submitting to you as Lord. God, wash me clean. Let me be different. from this day until my last day and every day in eternity. I thank you that you care enough to meet me here. I'm leaving here with something that I didn't have when I came in. Love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening today. If this message spoke to you in any way, please subscribe in your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. We would like to connect with you. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit embassycity.com. You can watch live on Sundays and view past messages on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/embassycitychurch. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Embassy Urban. If you'd like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at embassycity.com or text embassycity, all one word, to 77977. We pray you have a great week. Thanks for listening today.